Welcome to the Magic Potion Podcast, where a sprinkle and a dash can enhance your class. Listen to learn about tools, techniques, and stories from educators on ways to improve your lessons, create a positive culture, and much more. I'm your host, Kevin Reinemann, and now it's time to make it happen.
Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 34. It's time to get magical with my special guest, Tisha Richmond. Welcome, Tisha. Could you please let the audience know who you are and what your background in education is, please?
Yes. Hello. I'm so happy to be here. I am Tisha Richmond from Southern Oregon. I have been in education 23 years, mainly as a family and consumer science teacher teaching culinary arts and some interior design. I've also been a lead teacher within my school, and this last year I took on a new role as a tech integration specialist supporting 19 schools in our district.
Oh, wow. I was expecting you to say like three or four. 19?
19.
That's a bunch.
Yes. It's the first time we've had this position. So it is, but it's been a lot of fun. I've loved it.
Oh, man, that is great. So this episode has been quite a while in the making. This is the one side of the country connecting with the other side of the country. So time zones make a huge difference. So we had to wait till the summer came around in order to really make this happen. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the air with me today.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's an honor to be on your podcast. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. My reasoning for wanting to have you on is you wrote a book called Make Learning Magical, published by the fine folks over at Dave Burgess. I haven't read it yet. Honestly, it's next on my list. I just picked up Adrenaline Rush by John Meehan.
Oh, yes.
I'm cruising through that one. It's a tough one to put down. He did a great job. So my plan this summer is to finish that book up, and then I'm going to push order, and folks listening, it's in the show notes. You can pick up a copy off of Amazon of Make Learning Magical. So be sure to do that. And that is going to be my next summer read before school starts. So what was the inspiration? What are I looking forward to reading about when I pick that one up?
Yeah. So Make Learning Magical is really about how I was able to transform my teaching and really create unforgettable experiences in my classroom. And really my story starts about 5 years ago when I was kind of burnt out. I was an educator that was coming home at night and dreaming of becoming a barista, you know, perfecting that beautiful latte art on the top of coffee. It's just like, you know, I'm done right now. It was just a lot of stress. And I'd been in it for quite a while. And what really was the catalyst that year when I was feeling so burnt out was the culinary teachers in our region were applying for a grant through Carl Perkins to get a classroom set of iPads. And I thought it was a cool idea, but to be honest, I was a little stressed about it because I had my own iPad, but I really didn't know what that would look like for learning. And I didn't want this to be an iPad that was going to be just collecting dust in a cart or being used only to search recipes. I wanted it to be transformational. So part of the funding that we did receive was to go to some professional development. And so I ended up going to this conference called iPad Palooza. It was in Austin, Texas. And really my mind was opened up to this whole world of innovative teaching that I didn't even know existed. I'd been living in this little, like my little culinary cave here in Southern Oregon. And I hadn't been a connected educator. So I didn't know all of these things that I was missing out on. And so at that conference, I discovered this world of Twitter and being a connected educator and understanding that there's so much more to education than what I was currently doing. And that really launched me into this journey of really taking risks in my classroom, trying new things, and really becoming connected and learning from educators all around the world. Because you know, as a culinary teacher, I felt pretty isolated. There wasn't anybody else in my school at the time that was teaching the same thing as I was. And I didn't really have anybody to brainstorm ideas with, or so I thought. But then when I started getting connected, I realized, oh my goodness, there's teachers and just people in education, teachers or not, that are doing amazing things. And I can take those ideas and I can make them my own by bringing them into my own classroom. And so I started I was like a sponge. I was just soaking up all of these amazing ideas. And then I started becoming brave and sharing out the things that I was trying to. And so it really unlocked this whole magical adventure for me. And so in my book, MAGICAL is an acronym. And so the M stands for memorable beginnings. How can we create amazing starts in our classroom? How can we get to know kids and create this team atmosphere and get to know kids' names? That's what a memorable beginnings is all about. Authenticity and agency. How can we create an environment where students have choice, where they're able to demonstrate their learning in really authentic ways, and we can really get to know students at a deeper level? G is gamified experiences. Gamification has played a huge role in my journey. I've gamified all of my culinary classes. I have a gamified structure that it overlays the entire semester that I teach. And I have three different game frameworks that I layered over my classes. And so that really was transformational in my journey as well. Innovation is all about taking risks. How can we take risks as educators, and how can we model that for students so that they feel safe taking risks too? Creativity, collaboration, and curiosity is just really tapping into those three things to create this very immersive learning environment for kids where they're not only immersed, but they're empowered in their learning. Authentic audience is about how can we connect locally and globally with professionals, industry partners, other classrooms, so that our students can open up our classroom walls and learn from beyond our classroom. And so I created lots of opportunities to bring in an authentic audience, both of local partners, as well as connecting globally with other classrooms and educators in other parts of the world. And then legacy is about how we as educators can leave a legacy in our roles, but as well help our students to see what an important part that they play in our world, and that they can go out and make a legacy too and leave a legacy too. And so really that the book is drawing on each of those different letters in the acronym to really inspire and give very practical ideas for how anybody can transform their teaching and create unforgettable classroom experiences, just as I was able to do.
Wow. I just took a whole heck of a lot away from that, and I'm ready to push buy now and start reading the book like immediately. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you so much.
And I tell you what, that makes, you know, as we were talking a little bit before we started pushing record, the MAGIC and MAGIC Potion EDU is also an acronym as well that I've been working on over the past few years. And your story just resonates with me and kind of gives me this feeling of, hey, maybe I am onto something. That G right there in the middle for me is get out there. And I would like to express with educators is the world is bigger than your classroom. First thing you need to do is get on Twitter. Even if you're not active, if you're just reading, being the lurker, as they call it, Twitter transforms educators. Absolutely. At least that's been my experience and a lot with the other people I've spoken with. And then the other part to get out there is use the power of your feet and get out to conferences. There is a conference for every single content area, anything you, even if it's grade bands, content areas, yes, educational technology, there is something out there for you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go out there and present, but networking at those conferences with like-minded people, it's Twitter in real life.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Well, and what's amazing about it is that, you know, when you start creating this globally connected network and you start engaging in conversations, whether it's through Twitter chats or just, you know, individual dialogue back and forth based on the things that people are sharing, when you get to know these people, and it's weird for people who are not globally connected to understand, but they become people that are part of this professional learning network that on a daily basis are inspiring you and challenging you, and they become your friends, as strange as that might sound. And then what happens is that you get to know these people in this Twitter sphere, and then you go to a conference, whether that's ISTE or USM Spark or so many different conferences out there. You go to these conferences and you meet these people that you're connected with face to face, and it's like you're meeting these like longtime friends, and it's like you've known each other for years. But then that friendship is strengthened because now you've seen each other face to face. Now you're able to actually sit and chat in face to face conversations. So now when you go back on Twitter and you are a part of Twitter chats and you see these people that you've connected with face to face, that friendship and that connection becomes even stronger. And that is really what happened for me, is that, you know, I've created these friendships and this community of like-minded educators on Twitter. And then I've had the amazing opportunity to meet many of them in real life. And so those friendships have just gotten stronger and stronger. And when you create relationships and connections like that, it opens up so many amazing opportunities for learning and growth that you would have never even expected would happen. And it's been, I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt, I would not have had the opportunities that I've had today, like writing a book, if I wouldn't have gotten connected those 5 years ago on Twitter and started to expand, you know, my network. It's been transformational.
And I don't know where this thought popped into my head here, but we're on summer mode now. And my 3-year-old, one of his current obsessions is Spider-Man. Uh-huh. He's absolutely love with Spider-Man. He wants me to carry him around the house, hanging from the walls, just like Spidey. So earlier today, on Netflix, we were watching Spider-Man Into the Spideyverse, one of the newer ones that just came out. And if you haven't watched it, what happens is there's this riff in a space-time continuum, and all these different dimensions come into one, and there's a different Spider-Man in each different dimension, and they all come together. So what this is reminding me of as you're talking, when you said the Twitter sphere, I'm picturing all these different Spider-Men, Spider-Girl, all of them coming together like us teachers, all with very similar stories and very similar backgrounds, but from entirely different organizations and units. And I think, like you're talking about with Twitter, when we're meeting these people, and if you're lucky enough to meet them face to face, or even better, go have a meal or coffee with them. That's the big one for me at conferences. That's when the great conversations happen. You come to find out that, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that has these same thoughts. And you know what? I might not have somebody in my school building to push me, but now I have somebody somewhere else that I can reach out to, that we can bounce ideas back and forth, and we can make ourselves better educators for the sake of our students as we go.
Absolutely. 100%. And I can't just tell you how much more courageous that I've become and confident as an educator since I've developed this network, because I feel like I'm constantly being challenged and pushed and encouraged too. And so I might share out something I do in my classroom, and then somebody else responds or asks to learn more about that. And then it just validates what I'm doing, but at the same time, it pushes me to not stay in the status quo, but continue to keep trying new things and learning and growing. And I, you know, for a long time, when I started getting connected on Twitter, you know, I would lurk and I would get all these ideas from people, but I wasn't really giving back because I kind of thought like, well, what do I have to share? Like these ideas that are being shared out on Twitter are amazing. Like there's no way I could share out anything as cool as what they're sharing. And I realized after some time, it's like, I need to give back. Like I'm learning so much from other educators. It's not fair for me to be consuming all the time and not being able to share back what I'm doing. And it took some leaps of, you know, faith and being brave to put my stuff out there. But when I started realizing that what I was sharing really was helpful for some people, then it was like, okay, like it may not resonate with everybody, but somebody might learn from what I'm doing. So I'm going to continue to do that. And it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen the video by Derek Sivers called, I always get this name wrong. I think it's Ordinary to Us, Amazing to Others. And it's this quick little video, and I've shown it so many times, but it's all this, it's this whole idea that, you know, we may think what we do is just kind of ordinary, that it's nothing special, but to somebody else, it might be groundbreaking. It might be the thing that shifts somebody's practice. And so we all are better together, and we need to share what we're doing because we have no idea the ripple effect that it's going to cause in somebody else's journey. I have been inspired by so many educators. I couldn't even possibly shout them all out by name, but have made a significant impact on where I'm at today and my journey as an educator. And it's because they were brave enough to share. And so I'm so grateful.
Okay. I don't know how, I don't know why, but for some reason, this movie I watched this morning is turning out to have a huge impact, because one of the overall themes of this Spider-Man Into the Spideyverse was taking a leap of faith.
I love it.
And that's so odd that you brought that same exact quote up. And it was about stepping out of your comfort zone, and that's where you find yourself to become who you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
The next part off of that is you were talking about with Ordinary to Us. I have not seen that video that you're speaking of. I'm going to look for it after we finish our chat. And then if I can get it, I'll add that to the show notes as well. But what I found in my first few times going to like smaller conferences, I would put together presentations. And then after a few of them, like, okay, this is kind of boring. No one's going to want to watch this one. And I was thinking like Kahoot and quizzes, stuff like that. Mm-hmm, but come to find out, when you go to those conferences, it may be something you and all your coworkers do that somebody is, you know, 10 miles away at a different school has never heard of before.
Exactly.
So it might be something simple, easy to come along with, and has had a great impact on your classroom. Share it, no matter what. Share those experiences because somebody else hasn't heard of it. There was a time when you had not heard of it before, too. So don't be afraid to get out and talk about what it is that's going on great in your classroom, because it, you know, 9 people in the room may have already heard about it, but that one, that 10th person, it could have a huge impact on them and their students. So don't be afraid. True. Step up.
So true. I believe in that wholeheartedly because it's made a huge difference in my own journey. So yes, share. We are all better together. That is for sure.
Absolutely. We're, as I said, and I believe the last conference I went to, it was the Create conference at Anthony Wayne Schools here, beginning of June. And, now I lost what I was saying. Oops.
That sounds like a cool conference. Anything with the name Create, that sounds
awesome. Yes, their focus is on not having any sort of vendor presence, that type of stuff. It's all just educators coming together to share things.
Fantastic. And
I completely lost my train of thought there.
It's okay. I do that all the time.
Oops. I guess I'm just getting up there. Okay. Well, another thing that has gone on with me, I've mentioned it before on my podcast and stuff, and I talk about it when I'm talking to teachers and everything, is that I never cared to read. It was never my thing. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, when I went back to get my master's degree in learning and technology, I had picked up Teach Like a Pirate. Mm-hmm. And wow. It wasn't that I didn't like to read. It was that I didn't find what I wanted to read. And that book opened up doors for me. So big shout out to Dave Burgess there. You wrote a fantastic book. And it seems like all the authors that he has lined up, I think last I heard he has 75 books published now.
They close all to seem that.
To just be real down to earth people that just want to share, much like yourself. Since your book is published by Dave Burgess, you would very well know.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I too, when I read Teach Like a Pirate, my mind was blown, and he has largely impacted my journey. And I will tell you that that's what I love about the Burgesses, is they take a leap of faith in trusting
there these we go again.
Authors exactly to share their stories. And it's like those real life experiences and stories that I think are so impactful for teachers as they're reading these books, is that it resonates because it's not theory and research that hasn't really been practiced in the classroom. This is like real life, you know, research that's happening on a daily basis is in classrooms. It's practitioners that are sharing their stories of how they've made learning amazing. And it's the realness too. I mean, sometimes the stories are, you know, are very vulnerable. And I think it's really powerful when we can share those stories too. And so I'm so grateful to the Burgesses for giving me the opportunity and trusting me to share, you know, a piece of my journey with the world. And hopefully, you know, it will resonate with people and that they will feel inspired that, you know, no matter how long you've been in education, whether you're at the very beginning or at the end, like, you can transform what teaching and learning looks like in your classroom. You can create unforgettable experiences in your classroom. Even if you are like I was 5 years ago and feeling like you were ready to leave education to become a barista, like, you have no idea what's in store for you. Like, if you can really tap into the power of these seven keys, and untap that magic in your classroom, you are in for an unbelievable ride. It's been incredible.
And along those same lines, is there a book you're currently reading or specific to? I think we would both recommend Teach Like a Pirate to every single person listening if they have not already read it.
Oh, yes. In fact,
we'll read it again. But is there, what are you currently reading, or what would you recommend to somebody?
There are so many books that I would recommend, and there's so many books that I have stacked up in a stack that I am determined to read this summer. I am really excited to read Adrenaline Rush 2. I actually endorsed his book, and so I read it before it went to print, and so now I just can't wait to open it up and read it. You know, the real pages and dive into it with my highlighter marker, because he is just has fantastic ideas and has the same, you know, love for gamification as I do. Oh my goodness. So many books. Passion for Kindness by Tamara Letter is amazing. Be Real by Tara Martin. Explore Like a Pirate has made a huge impact on my educational journey. Michael Matera was really what inspired me. He was one of the very first conferences that I went to. I met him and kind of learned about this idea of gamification, and he was pivotal in that journey for me as an educator. Innovator's Mindset also made a huge impact on me as an educator. There are just so many. Lead Like a Pirate by Shelley Burgess is a phenomenal book. I'm not just saying this because my book was published by Dave Burgess Consulting, but I tell you pick up any one of those books and it will
oh, yeah.
it will impact you greatly.
I have not come across one of them that I didn't like or that I didn't get something from.
Yeah, they're awesome.
From my perspective as somebody that does a lot of professional development, the 4 o'clock faculty was a big one for me. I love the ideas that Rich Chiz had in that book.
Yes.
So we have, I think we both pretty much endorse the entire catalog of all 75 books or whatever the number is by the time I push publish on this episode.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I follow you on Twitter and we're friends on Facebook. And as I watch your journey along the way, I swear you are in a different state every other week. Is that the case? You seem to be going to conferences quite a bit.
It has been a very busy month of June. So I started out at Montana State University. I was able to speak for a family and consumer science summer conference of educators, and it was amazing. I loved it. I was able to actually stay with a friend that I taught with at South Medford about 4 years ago. So that was really fun. Yeah, it was super cool. And it was in Bozeman. I'd never been to Bozeman before. So that was really a fun trip, fast trip, but very fun. And then I came home and then left for USM Spark, which is a conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's amazing. Chuck Taft is the one who organizes the conference. It's the home of Michael Matera as well, the author I was telling you about that wrote Explore Like a Pirate. And it's one of those small conferences that are larger than life. I mean, there's about 250 to 300 educators, but the educators there, it's like you're coming home to family. I mean, they're all passionate educators who are just making a huge difference in education. The speakers are phenomenal. It's fun. There's just an amazing energy and vibe. And so I've had the opportunity to go to that conference 3 times in the past 4 years. And every time I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm coming home. I love it. And then I left from USM Spark and I actually went and stayed with my friend Tara Martin in Kansas for a couple days. And then we both headed to Philly for ISTE 2019. And that was just, oh my goodness, amazing as well. And it really, you know, to me, when I go to these conferences, first of all, I love to share my passion. I love to be able to, I love to present, but I also absolutely love the people and really connecting, like I said before, like with these people in my network that, you know, I talk to on a daily basis on Twitter or on Voxer. Like I get to actually see them face to face and have real life conversations and laugh and eat together. Like all of those things make it such an amazing experience. And I can say that really for me, I mean, the sessions at ISTE obviously are amazing, but it's those informal conversations in the hallway and over lunch and breakfast that really are, I think, the most powerful learning experiences. It's like your entire professional learning network kind of all coming into this one location, you know, at the same time. And of course, not everybody can go to ISTE. And so not everybody is there, but people, you know, all over the world that you connect with are all kind of, a large percentage of them are coming to the same place at the same time, which is awesome.
Yeah, ISTE is definitely on my bucket list of conferences to attend. I don't want to say I haven't had the courage to submit a presentation to that one yet. It's been more of a, oops, I ran out of time. So I guess I lost my focus. Because submitting a presentation for ISTE is the most, I'll use the word cumbersome. From all the conferences I've looked at, that seems to be, there's a lot you got to put in. They must get a ton of submissions.
It's true. It is a very lengthy process, but it's amazing. I was able to speak 2 sessions there this year, and then I did a TED. I was part of the TED Masterclass, and so I was able to do a TED Talk, which was a leap for me that was definitely jumping out of my comfort zone. But it was such an amazing experience. And so I was really grateful for that opportunity.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you so much.
It was a lot of fun. if you're looking at all the conferences you've been to, you and I actually met down in FETC this past year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I always go to OETC here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. This year I went to NCEA, the National Catholic Educational Association Conference. Big, small, what conferences do you, I don't want to ask you to like narrow one down and say, this is the one that I absolutely love. But if you could give two or three that you would suggest people go to, what would they be?
Oh my goodness. So for different reasons, I would say two that I've already mentioned, I love. So USM Spark is an amazing conference in Milwaukee. Again, that just has an amazing vibe. Like you walk in the door and you feel this amazing energy, amazing keynotes, amazing presenters, and just the people there are just so excited to be there and so passionate. And the food is really good too.
That's always key right there. That is always key.
Yeah. But there's just fun little things like Michael Matera had a game night at night. And just, I mean, there was so many people. I don't even know, maybe 100. I don't even know how many people came to this game night, but packed out this restaurant. So just like fun things like that. And it's small enough that you really are able to have like conversations with people and mm-hmm. get to talk to people that you normally wouldn't have a chance to talk to, which is awesome. Another one that was really pivotal for me is it used to be called Miami Device, but now it's called Shift in EDU and it's in Miami, Florida. That has a very similar feel to USM Spark. It's in Miami, which is awesome. A beautiful location and same thing, like really amazing speakers, small, you know, enough that you really get to talk to people. The sessions are small. You get to have one-on-one conversations, a lot of fun kind of after events. And the food is also amazing at Shift in EDU, which, you know, culinary background, that has to weigh in a little bit, right? For me, like food is a big deal.
Absolutely.
So those two are awesome. Q conferences in California, very much have enjoyed those. I mean, and all because of the energy, right? Like when you have a conference where the energy is just electric, it's so inspiring to be there. It's just awesome. And then ISTE is kind of one of those where it's so big and you can't possibly get to see and do and learn everything that you want to learn, but it's all about the people that are all coming together and getting to see face-to-face, you know, that you would never get to see face-to-face or, you know, rarely would get to see face-to-face otherwise. So I would say that those are my top.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing those.
Absolutely.
And I got to say, going back to the Create Conference, it's a small one. It's at Anthony Wayne High School, just outside of Toledo, Ohio. I want to say this was their biggest year. They had about 130 educators, if I remember correctly. But the lunch is catered by Tony Pacos, which if anyone listening is a MASH fan from the show from 70s, 80s, whenever that was. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. Jamie Farr. His character, he referred to Tony Pacos quite often. So, delicious food. There we go again.
That's good to know. I'll have to write that one down. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoy going to those smaller conferences for that exact same thing that you're talking about with this. You feel like you get to know each other better. You can sit down and have lunch with the folks, and the conversations that happen over the lunch hour, they're amazing. And you can easily, you know, bring somebody else with you to that conference and kind of, okay, you go to this session, I'll go to this session. We'll create a Google Doc and share notes with each other, but you'll end up getting more talking in the hallway with somebody else.
Yes.
Not to be a slam on the sessions. That's not what I'm getting at all, because the sessions are awesome.
Right. No, you're so right. That's what I love about the conferences too. Absolutely. 100%.
All right. So let's say you're looking back either at, see, this is a question I normally ask my guests, but I don't know. I kind of want to take a different spin on it. Usually I ask, what advice would you give yourself on that first day of your first classroom right before the students walked in for the first time? But now I'm kind of thinking, you're talking about when you really felt the burnout and everything. You found your way out of it. But now that you can look back, what advice would you give yourself on that day when you realized you were burnt out? So feel free to answer either one of those or both or however you'd like.
Right. You know, I would say that get out of your silo. You know, I was living in a silo where I wasn't connecting, even with people in my own building. You know, I was in a professional learning community at school made up of, you know, all the career and technical ed teachers. So the autos teachers, the business teacher, the manufacturing teacher, but we all were so different in our practice. And I didn't really see that we really could collaborate and learn from each other in the way that, you know, in this amazing way. And so when I started getting globally connected, I started appreciating even those in my own building in a different way. I realized that I don't have to live in that silo anymore, that I really can gain inspiration and ideas from people in all different subject areas and grade levels. And so that really was one of the things that really pushed me out of my comfort zone and really opened up my eyes to all of these new ideas. And I would just say it doesn't matter how long you've been in education, it's never too late to tap into your passion again and get revitalized. Because I think sometimes people think, oh, you know, I've been in this so long, there's no way that I could, you know, rekindle that passion for education again. And it's absolutely not true. You absolutely can bring life back into what you do again. And really, I think really tap into what brought you into education in the first place, and really tap into what made you want to be an educator from the beginning, you know, and really helping to define, I think part of it was helping me to define my why, like, why do I do what I do? And really making sure that everything that I do is aligned to that why of why I'm in education in the first place.
And that brings us back to the magic potion with the first letter being M, which is motivate. And I kind of take two spins on that. We got to find ways to motivate our students. And I think you can do that through, well, one I want to start looking more into is doing badging and doing a lot of that gamification stuff. So another reason for me to look into your book. But the other part of the motivate is motivating yourself. And you have to find that why, or remember why you got into the classroom to begin with. And that, I think, really kicks it off and helps you go forward and getting that passion, that spark, and moving forward, not just for yourself, but just for the best of your students, really.
Yes, absolutely. Our students need us to be passionate, excited educators, because it's contagious. And if we are passionate and excited about what we're doing, then they catch hold of that excitement and they become passionate and excited too. If we are just going through the motions and remaining status quo, then our students are going to go through the motions and remain status quo, and they deserve so much better. And so I'm so thankful that I was able to tap into my passion for education again. Because if not, you know, then I would still be I would either be a barista right now, or I would be continuing to remain status quo for my students. And that's not fair.
And you were able to shake you were able to shake the rust off, so to say.
Absolutely. Love it. Absolutely.
So if somebody came to you, like I am right now, and said, hey, I'm really interested in doing this gamification stuff, I'm a little intimidated by it, what's a simple way to get started with it? Now, I'm sure a lot of it is going to go back to our leap of faith and jumping in with both feet. But do you have any simple tips and tricks to maybe get your feet wet and kind of get a feel for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really the way that I have gamified my classrooms, really started out with a storyline and then adding in game mechanics. So I would say tap into your inspiration. What do you love? Do you love, you know, Disney? Do you love movies? Do you love Star Wars? What is it that you love? Tap into that and come up with a theme for your gamified classroom. And then once you find a theme, you're developing your story. Like, what, who are the characters going to be? What is the setting going to be? What is the action that you want to bring in? And you might not want to do this for an entire semester. In fact, I wouldn't recommend transforming everything from the get-go. Start with a unit, maybe a unit that you don't love to teach, and try to bring life into that one unit in this unified structure. So then once you have your storyline, you've determined, you know, your theme, your characters, your setting, and your action, then you can start thinking about what can I bring in that is really going to hook my kids and get them excited. And so that might be having levels where students are leveling up by acquiring, you know, experience points or badges. Maybe it's having these chance cards that our students draw randomly, when they are, maybe they could earn them when they get top five in Kahoot, or maybe they could earn them for demonstrating extraordinary soft skills or employability skills in your classroom. So think about what is it, what are those game mechanics? And I do talk about those in my book and how to create your storyline, but what are those things that would hook your kids and get them excited and immersed in learning? And so, it's really, you're not uprooting everything that you do in your classroom. It's the same, like I taught the same units, the same stuff, but I put this, I layered this storyline over my curriculum and brought in these game mechanics to hook them to create this more immersive environment. And so that's kind of, you know, that's what I would suggest. Find a unit, tap into your inspiration, think about what that storyline is going to look like, and then start bringing in those game mechanics.
Now, with your students, did you notice, like, was it immediate? Everybody bought into it and they had a great time? Or did you have some students that were like, what is she doing? I just want to do the normal lecture stuff and move on. Now, yeah, I know it's a little tough with your culinary classroom. Right. You probably aren't lecturing a ton.
No, but I would do, you know, I do demonstrations and things like that to teach new methods and concepts. But for me, I mean, just like my M in magical, memorable beginnings are really important. So how can you create an exciting hook right from the start? So I would create a promotional video, like a trailer that I would show at the very first day of class to get them hooked and to get them excited. I would have a lot of team building experiences where they were getting to know each other at the beginning so that there was like an immediate engagement. I wouldn't spend a ton of time on rules and processes. I would kind of incorporate that in through the challenges and the things that I did, but I would get them excited. And then you have to read your kids. And so I had a lot of opportunities for students to demonstrate their learning in a variety of ways, but I had different game mechanics that would appeal to different students. So for instance, in one of my classes, I had a theme called Master Chef. The whole idea of Master Chef was that students every unit were trying to get to the very top level, which was Master Chef status. And so to get to Master Chef status, they had to earn 4,000 experience points. And they could earn it through a variety of ways in the class, all connected to learning. And then if they got to Master Chef, they didn't have to take the test because they had demonstrated their understanding of that material so well that they could have written the test. Like they really had already demonstrated it. So there were some kids in my class, so I'll use this as an example, that they were really high level learners and they got to Master Chef every time, but they didn't really care that they didn't have to take the test because they would have rocked it anyway. And they were just really good test takers. And so I opened up an opportunity for them. If they got to Master Chef status, they could turn all of their 4,000 experience points in for chance cards. And my chance cards were like these cards that I would put in a bowl. They would pick them up at random. And they would give different incentives for the class. So maybe they got to leave 2 to 3 minutes early. Maybe they got an extended time frame on a mystery or a bakery mission that I was going to be sending them on in class. They had more time to complete it. Maybe it was a trip to my coffee bar that I had set up in the back of the room where if they had a free coffee card, they would get a Keurig cup and they could make their own cup of chai or apple cider or hot chocolate or coffee. And so that there were some kids that were so excited to get to MasterChef level, not because they were exempt from the test, but because they were going to get to turn in all of their 4,000 XP for 8 chance cards. Because that was what motivated them. And so motivation. Really trying to, yeah, like trying to figure out like how could you really motivate all of your learners? Because every kid is going to be motivated by something slightly different. And so if you have a lot of different ways to motivate them, then you're going to appeal to a lot of, you know, different learners in your classroom.
And now I really want more coffee. That's phenomenal. Yeah, I absolutely love that. That's the chance cards are never are something that I haven't really, if somebody's talked about it, I haven't picked up on it before, but that's something simple because you're not, you don't even have to pay anything for it. You can just do that on a piece of cardstock and cut it out and put it on the wall. You don't have to invest anything in that. And no. What you're talking about having on there, that's motivating the students, doesn't cost anything.
Absolutely. Okay,
except for maybe some K-cups, but what, right, 30 yeah, cents a piece for those things?
Exactly. And I actually had someone donate a bunch of them to me. So that was awesome too. But really, yeah, I would create them on iOS pages. You could also create them in Google Drawings or on a Google mm-hmm. Slide. I would have 9 to a sheet. I would print them out in color and then I would laminate them and cut them. And then I would keep them in like a recipe box. So they were the size of 3x5 cards. Are not 3x5 cards, I'm sorry, baseball cards. And so I would keep them in, I would have a recipe box that would hold all my experience points and chance cards, but then I would also have chance cards in a bowl that when they had an opportunity to draw, they would just pick them out at random. But then students would keep their chance cards and experience points in a plastic sleeve, like a baseball card holder sleeve, you know, that you can buy that have like the three-ring binder. And so they could keep them in their three-ring binders and they would have all their cards like organized in there so that they wouldn't get lost, which worked really well. But the nice thing about it is that when they redeemed them, they would turn them in. And so you would recycle these cards. You wouldn't have to, you know, make them over and over again. You could keep them from one semester to the next. So yeah, really low investment for really a big impact.
Yeah, really good return on investment. As
absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing all this great stuff today.
Oh, it's so much fun. Thank you so much for having me on. I love to share.
Yeah. So, want to be mindful of your time here as we're approaching the almost 50-minute mark. This is awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything we missed? And what's the best way for the audience to get in touch with you?
You can reach me at Tish Rich on Twitter. I love connecting there. I'm also at Tish Rich on Voxer. If you want to have, sometimes I like Voxer because you can have like conversations back and forth. I have a website, TishaRichmond.com. where I share blogs. I have a lot of resources on that site as well. A lot of free printables if you go to my resource page. And you can also, if you are a family and consumer science teacher, I have a group on Facebook for family and consumer science teachers called Gamifying Family and Consumer Science. And so that's another way that you can connect as well. So yeah, I would love, please reach out. I would love to chat and continue talking about education. I love getting to meet and connect with other educators that are passionate.
Well, thank you so much once again. And audience, as always, go out there and make it happen.
Go make learning magical.
Thank you for listening to the Magic Potion Podcast. This podcast was created using Anchor FM. Please subscribe and leave comments with your thoughts and ideas from the classroom. Until next time, get out there and make it happen.